Hello, Sinsanity! Welcome to the first episode of our podcast. Typically with guests on like we have today in the form of Graham Ashcraft, Andrew Abbott, and Lyon Richardson, we would call this an extra innings episode. But we decided to come straight out throwing punches for our first episode. It's going to be hosted by myself, Clayton Stone, my dad, John Stone. We're going to touch a little bit on baseball, and then we're going to get into the fun stuff. We're going to talk about steak, we're going to talk about video games, a couple surprise questions, and you guys get to learn a little bit about these players that you might not know. So how about that, Red Legs fans? What do you say we get this thing started? I just sold out to the perfect condition. Coming alive. Heat of the night. Now is the time. Don't try to hide. Cause I'm gonna harm you like an animal. So, we're in spring training with Graham Ashcraft, Andrew Abbott, and Lyon Richardson. You can talk about all the stuff that everyone can read online like stats, but we decided to have a little fun today and change it up. So let's get started with our first question here. Andrew, what do you think a successful spring camp would look like to you once spring training has concluded?
Number one, health, for sure. Being healthy out of camp's huge. Obviously you want good results, but also just kind of coming in, understanding that you might be working on something, maybe you find something mechanically or pitch or something design-wise, but it's individualized like baseball is, so everybody's got something different to work on.
And, everyone's got a different perspective, so what about you, Lyon?
Me personally is health-wise, especially over the past couple of years being hurt. Coming into each spring being better than you were last spring, I think, is a huge thing. Just show improvement and stay healthy through the whole thing.
And Graham, what are your thoughts on it?
I would definitely say it's like these guys are saying, being healthy, of course, is number one. If you can stay healthy and going into season, normally it's pretty good for you. But all of us have little things that we're working on that we're starting to do before we get into spring training. So we kind of have a plan of what we're trying to attack into going into spring and what we would like to see from the stuff that we're working on. So I would say if we can see those little tweaks kind of come out and go about how we would like them to go, then that's where it feels like more of a positive for us going into season than anything.
And also for the most part, I think this is where we have the chance to work on things against better hitters compared to being home to where it's in bullpens and just seeing it.
One second. I'm going to leave that running. I'm going to put this other mic on there so you can pick up any comments you made.
I thought he was about to throw up.
I thought he was going to the bathroom. I was going to be like, child, please tell me this isn't happening right now. Because you never know with him.
No, I thought he was definitely going to shit or throw up.
I was thinking the former, not the latter. In which case, we'd be here a while. That's not a slow process. All right, so each of you talked about your individual training, certain things you work on. As far as building up your pitch count, how does that work for you?
It's kind of like a step system. So, most of our pins in the off season at home will probably be around 20, 25, maybe 30 pitches. And then towards the end of the off season, right before spring training, normally all of us get a live in, maybe two, maybe three, maybe more, depending on how long you've been going. And then when we get here, it's kind of up to coaching staff, the pitching coordinators, whoever you're dealing with, that kind of identify, hey, you're going to throw this day, so, you got two innings here, and then maybe the next week you got three, or maybe if you're a reliever, you go one here, one there. It really just depends on who you are and what kind of role they see you in.
I think that's fairly similar for most starters, and I think all starters. So I'd probably have to agree with them on that. I don't think there's much difference in between. It's just really personal preference. If you want to start earlier, start later. Do more, do less.
It's kind of just preference on the player. There's some guys that they like to make sure they get a month and a half, 2 months of long toss in before they get into pins. There's some guys that can go out and just throw for 3 weeks before they get on the mound. It's all kind of just depends on how each other, everybody's body kind of reacts to things. I mean, we're all kind of the same. We all just majority of the people that I think we play with, everybody tends to at least build up into throwing in the off season for the first 2 to 3 weeks, then get into long toss for about a month, and then get into bullpens from there. And then that's kind of just the stepping stone of building up pitch count, throw 2 or 3 bullpens at 15, 20 pitches, 2 or 3 at 25 to 30, 2 or 3 at 35 to 40. And then normally by that time, that's when we get to spring, and that's when we start getting into lives. And then from that point on, that's more of, once we get here, it's more of just a building process of extending those counts out to where we get in games. You start at 1 inning, you go to 2, you go to 3, 4, and so on until we get into season.
So when you get into the season, do you have a specific pitch count that you're limited to?
Yeah, typically it's I would say it's normally probably around that 80, 85, 90 mark. Just depends on where you were at. If you started earlier on during spring games to where you got to that 6, 7 inning mark by the time spring was over, or if you're a little bit behind, it kind of varies from each guy. It just depends on where they got by the end of spring training.
Okay, so now I have a more important question for you. How do you work on the building process for your six-pack abs throughout spring training going into season?
I will never have six-pack abs, but I do a lot of Pilates core workouts.
Well, if we're talking about six-pack abs, I'm going to go ahead and jump one question ahead on this list I have. I'm assuming you guys like steakhouses. So what cut of beef do you like the best personally?
So there's a place in Scottsdale called Dominic's that does a Australian Wagyu.
About to say the dang same thing.
And, I mean, that's probably the best steak I've ever had, personally.
Oh, which cut, though? Like New York strip?
And I think it was a filet.
A filet?
I think it was a filet, yeah. I don't think they really do. I don't know if they do ribeyes or New York strips.
Yeah, I don't think they do ribeyes, but ribeye is probably my favorite cut of a Wagyu, for sure.
My favorite cut would be the Tomahawk Wagyu from Cowa Steak Farms. They give you a great piece of meat, and I think I make it better at home than a restaurant can make it. So,
does that mean you're going to share with your buddies here one day? I mean, it's only fair, right?
It's only fair. I shared with them last year when Cowa Steak sent me some samples, and they all got to try it, so I don't think I need to share with them anymore.
And for those that said ribeye, is it boned in or no?
Yeah, bone in, for sure.
Well, the steak here has made an impression on Lion. So let me ask you guys, what do you think is the most likely thing you'll remember from this spring training? Whether it was a funny prank, a great play, whatever you can come up with that you think you'll look back in 5 years and say, oh, I remember that. That was sick. Or that was one of the funniest dang things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I would probably pair that with, like, the camaraderie that's been going on, you know, just, you know, going out to eat together, you know, going shopping, you know, casino runs together, you know, all of that stuff. it kind of adds, and it makes it easier, you know, you can separate kind of work and then life, so we can just come home and kind of take a chill pill. We grinded the Halo series together. We're watching The Witcher in there yesterday. You know, we watched the Avatar series together. So, I mean, like, there's just a lot of good things that take your mind away from baseball, because that's pretty much all we do day in, day out.
We got a good common ground in between us three. I mean, we have a lot of similar interests, so it makes it a lot easier to come home and know that you know who you're going to be hanging out with, and we actually enjoy hanging out with each other. Unlike guys, you come home and you might not even know that the person's home because they just stay in the room all day long or anything like that.
And do you choose your roommates, or does the team do that for you?
No, it's all based on you. I mean, because the team doesn't have anything to do with the house that you rent or anything like that. So it's just, we just all kind of reached out and got it set up.
All right, so who's better at video games?
100% Abbott.
He says he ain't no good.
I'm a little sweaty at times.
Yeah, he's real good.
I grew up playing video games. They're kind of a way that, just like connecting with different people and, you know, with travel ball and whatnot, you play with kids all over the United States. So it's a good way to stay in touch with them. it kind of passes time, honestly. My girlfriend doesn't like it too much, but...
well, I'm sure your girlfriend doesn't necessarily care for professional wrestling, swamp people, or Billy the Exterminator either.
She doesn't share some of the interests that I have. But, but I mean, it's all fair. I mean, it kind of gives us, like I said before, it kind of gives us all something to do really easy, you know, between, I think, what, Rocket League, Graham plays a lot, Fortnite... Lion and me are Call of Duty most of the time with some other splashes of games. Like, we can all kind of just hop on, do your own thing, or you can play all together, and it's fun either way.
So as you get into the season, just curious, baseball players by nature tend to have superstitions. Do any of you have any superstitions you would be willing to share?
We all have them, but to be honest, like, I know I have them. I couldn't even tell you what they are. I just do it. Like, Well, I mean, there is one that's pretty religious. Before every start and season, I normally get, like, chicken Alfredo. I get some type of, like, Alfredo pasta normally. But, like, other than that, during before the game and stuff, like, my routine is so ingrained. Like, I feel like in my brain and in just who I am that I just can't tell you. I just do it.
So it sounds like the confluence of habits meet superstition.
Yeah, it's superstition becomes your habit, almost. Like, we don't feel like we're superstitious because we do this stuff so constantly and so religiously that it's just ingrained in us.
I mean, I have some ones out there, but I always get a sub before I throw. So, like, your chicken Alfredo, I always get some kind of sub, whether it's, like, Jersey Mike's, Jimmy John's, Subway, something, whatever's available, really.
So they have to be a sub, because I know a place that has a great turkey club.
That would work. It does have to be a sub. It can be other things, but it's kind of just, like he said, like, they just become routine, and I don't even think about doing it. It kind of just, like, rolls. Like, my hand just takes over, and I just order a sub, and boop, there it is.
I actually do have one that I know that I don't ever really recognize. I don't eat on my start days. I don't eat until after I pitch.
Yeah.
I guess this whole entire thing has to do with food, which explains a lot about this house, but...
A lot of food
going on around here. I'd probably say I have steak and eggs, and then for breakfast, and I won't eat the rest of the day. So I think we're all pretty similar in that aspect.
So, all right, y'all hang out, play video games, relax. Who's the best at keeping the house clean?
We don't even need to bring the mic on this side. Yeah. Just go over there.
Just let Lion talk.
Yeah. I mean. If I walk around and see anything off, it kind of pisses me off. So I usually try and fix it if it's out of place. It's just my little thing.
So I know at least two of you had a fantasy football team last year. Was it in the same league?
No, I wasn't on Graham's when I had a solo one. I had the Chattanooga where I started at last year was the one that I was in. So
which one of you would be the better fantasy football manager?
Definitely Abbott, because I didn't do a dang thing for my team last year. I recruited the guys that knew what they were doing, and I just helped cover the wages.
And how'd that work for you?
We lost.
I was gonna say, yeah, I won Chattanooga's league last year. I came in like third this year, and then the one in my hometown I've won for like the last 5 years. So.
Oh. Maybe we should do a fantasy football podcast before the season starts.
Yeah, you might have a better hot streak than my dad has with fantasy football right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember without missing any details, but it was like 10 and 5 this year, 11 and 4, and then I've had 2 years of undefeated all the way through, never lost. Yeah, good trades at good times, hopefully.
It might just be me, but I want to call BS on that.
Trust me, not. Hey, I'm not solo. I do have others with me. I will preface that statement.
The truth comes out now.
No, but we do a system like that Graham and them had. Like, you get a certain amount of, I guess you could think, like, money or points, and you can allocate a certain amount to this guy, and if you get outbid, then you lose him. So we get a draft spot, and we get a player, and then after a certain amount of rounds, we do just like a basically you pay for who it is. And we do not have defense. It's 2 flex, so it's a lot easier to manage.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the flex position, but that's just me. So, we're going to throw y'all guys a curveball for the last question for the day. And since it's my dad's favorite question to ask, I'll let him go ahead and hit you with it.
Well, I'm guessing that all three of you are history buffs, so you do know that there are four faces on Mount Rushmore. Yeah, excluding current or past significant others, if you were to name your Mount Rushmore of women, who would that be?
Oh, that's a dangerous question.
Well, that's what makes it so fun.
Past or present significant others.
I'll answer because I got a short answer. Is probably just my girlfriend because she scares me. So I'm
well, I don't know why she's interested in you because it seems like you need to grow a pair.
Yeah. So that's probably going to be my answer.
One of mine for sure is my girlfriend now, not for the same reason, but she's just does everything for me, cares for me, and everything that I could ask for. So the other three though, that's a prickly. Prickly one.
I said Dua Lipa, okay. And Deer Camp, and Graham's like, who's that?
Well, he doesn't know pop culture.
Exactly. There's no reason to keep up with it. I don't need to know their business.
If you seen Dua Lipa, you would.
He's got a point.
Oh, I'm trying to remember the four that I said in Deer Camp that day. I know Shania Twain was on there. Shania Twain from like the 90s for sure. 100%.
How about Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston's on there.
I thought that was one.
That was one.
See, I'm not even thinking of celebrities.
I'm trying to think of the other two. It was Margaret. What was her last? What's her last name?
Brunette.
It is Mount Rushmore.
the Harley Quinn and Wolf of Wall Street girl.
Margaret Robbie.
Yeah. Margaret Robbie. And the fourth, I remember because the fourth took me a long time to think of. And guys, it's other than your significant other if y'all listen to the question.
I don't know. His answer was pretty good.
I choose life.
I'm married. She stuck with me, so. golly. I would say Marilyn Monroe then, for the fourth. That's
we got two out of four in common.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. Scarlett Johansson. I put Margot Robbie on there as well. Wolf of Wall Street, great movie. You haven't seen it. Shania Twain gets me thinking. There's a lot of good ones in that category. Yeah.
So she's like a fine wine. She's aged well.
Yeah.
dude, it's hard to think about. Trying to think of Sandra Bullock.
Ooh.
Be three.
That's an interesting.
Great movies. Love her movies.
number Simpson from Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Who's the girl in Fantastic Four who plays Miss
Alba?
Yeah, Jessica Alba. There you go.
Yeah.
He was thinking
some mature women.
Look, you got the three Jessicas. You got Simpson, Alba, and Beale.
Beale's a good one. There's too many good ones.
No, Jennifer Aniston.
Scarlett Johansson's my crush.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Any Jennifer Aniston. All right, boys. Well, that's all we got for today, unless you have any comments, questions, or concerns, like maybe Lion's life. But other than that, nope, nothing. All right. Well, we appreciate your time, fellas. Thanks for coming on. Hopefully, this was an enjoyable experience for you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the first Sinsanity podcast. We had a lot of fun with these guys out in Arizona at spring training. There were a lot of laughs, as you heard. It's going to be a fun time and a fun season. We're going to do one of these a week, hosted by myself and my dad with some other co-hosts, in addition to some interesting guests, probably some from the team, so you might want to stay tuned. We're going to do some fun stuff outside of that too, though. We're going to talk about Keeneland. It's horse racing, and if you don't know, you need to go. It's one of the nicest tracks in the country, and you can't beat it. It's been a long-standing tradition in our family and for a lot of people, especially if you go to the University of Kentucky. We'll probably talk a little bit about fantasy football with Andrew Abbott, and we're going to get into some hunting stuff with Graham Ashcraft. He loves duck hunting, ladies and gentlemen. I've never been myself, but you know what? I'm looking forward to going for the first time. We're going to have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, and you're going to learn some stuff about people you never knew before. So thank you for tuning in, and I'm going to end this with, how about that, Red Legs fans? See you later.